The Healing Word with Bill and Sandy Griffin, bringing hope and healing to our generation. Welcome to The Healing Word, your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. We have an exciting program for you today. We're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Booker, who's written The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread, currently published by Destiny Image. This is the 35th anniversary of this book being put into print. It is so exciting, and he's going to be sharing his zeal and excitement at the release of this new edition. So it's so wonderful. The Lord gave us a scripture today, and the scripture comes from the Passion Translation from Hebrews 13. Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, may he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the Anointed One, who is to receive all glory forever. Amen. Sandy, would you open us in prayer?
I'd be happy to. Lord, thank you for our topic today. It's life-changing, completely life-changing. Lord, transfuse us with your life-giving blood. Help us to see the garment of salvation in Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we come to you as King, supporter, Savior, and shield. And Lord, just be so real to us. As Richard speaks, I pray that you would manifest yourself in our hearts, in our minds, change us, bring us the revelation that you have so graced him with. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Just come now, anoint our words, our hearts, and Lord, change us this day. Call us higher so that we see the book, the gift that you've given to us in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, our very special guest, Dr. Richard Booker, is an ordained Christian minister and the founder of and director of the Sounds of the Trumpet Incorporated and the Institute for Hebraic Christian Studies. He's been in ministry for over 30 years. Richard's traveled extensively for 15 years, teaching in churches and at conferences. He and his wife, Peggy, yearly lead tour groups to Israel, where for 18 years, Richard was a speaker at the International Christian Celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Richard has a daily television program, which can be seen on the internet and around the world via satellite. He's also produced study material on the biblical Hebraic roots of Christianity for homeschoolers and family and group study. We're so pleased to bring him to you, celebrating the release of this 35th year of this book being in publication.
Richard, you have made such a difference in our lives, and we pray for our listeners to just be able to hear you and receive the wisdom, the revelation that God's given you, and the joy. So welcome to our listening area.
Thank you, Bill and Sandy.
Well, Richard, the celebration of the 35th year of this book being in print and just being released in this little bit of an upgraded, revised part, but so exciting. Could you share with us a little bit about the background of your encounter with God that led to that first edition?
Well, thank you for that. I would love to. I was just a plain businessman. And my career was my God, and that was what I gave my life to. And Peggy was a good second, but somebody invited me to a Bible study. Some people I worked for, or I worked with, rather, at the Occidental Petroleum in Houston, Texas, in the corporate MIS offices. And I'd never heard of going to a Bible study in somebody's home, particularly during the week. You got to get a Bible if you're going to go to a Bible study, right? So, but this is way back in the 70s, long before they had all these nice Christian things today. But I went to something called a Christian bookstore and got a Bible, and not knowing any better, opened it up and started reading in Leviticus. Everybody's favorite book, I'm sure. I started reading it, and I didn't know that I was supposed to start somewhere else or whatever they tell you. And so I'd heard the gospel when I was a kid and responded to it, but it was just kind of long distance in my life, real long distance. And but I saw from Mings here and talked about, you know, sacrifices and innocent substitutionary sacrifices and atonement and the blood of the lamb and all these things. I said, "Baby, this all stuff sounds kind of familiar. Didn't we hear this as a kid?"
Oh, yes.
And wow, you know, the Bible says if you seek God with your whole heart, you'll find him. You got to run into him sooner or later, you know, if you really want him. And at a heaven's moment in time, whatever that is, Bill and Sandy, you can't, you know, describe heavenly things with earthly words. But in a heaven moment in time, God came to me. I'm getting all emotional talking about it. And put me on the road to Emmaus from Luke chapter 24, and just kind of superimposed that story into the book of Leviticus. And you remember two of the disciples were there, and Jesus came and appeared to them, and they didn't recognize him. And he began to explain to them how all of the, what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, was really just pictures of him. And he went through every one, beginning at Genesis, and it says how his words burned within their hearts as he talked with them by the way. And then when they had a meal with him and recognized him, it says they instantly left everything and ran to Jerusalem to tell the guys back there he was risen and what he had told them. And that was my experience. And God let me be a third person on that Emmaus Road teaching. But it was from Leviticus. And basically what happened was an instant download of the whole Bible and how it was all a picture of a person, and that person was Jesus of Nazareth. But it exploded inside me like bombs going off inside me, Bill and Sandy, and I actually thought I would die. I couldn't take it all in. And that obviously you have something like that, that your life has changed instantly forever. And no more career. I boxed up all the computer boxes, came home and said, "Well, Peggy, our life has changed now." No more first and 15th paycheck. That was 43 years ago, Bill and Sandy. Oh, and God called us to write books and teach the Christians these things and live a true life of faith. And The Scarlet Thread was that first book we came out with that sort of told that story. And now we're celebrating 35 years of it.
And that book has made such a difference in so many lives. Ours, too. It was one of the first books that we read way back when. It was 35 years ago, probably, right?
As way back when, that's right. You know, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, the devil hates the blood. He doesn't mind, you know, a lot of side issue fringe teaching books at the Christian bookstore, but he hates the blood. And he's tried to destroy this book, Bill and Sandy, many times over the years. So for Peggy and I, knowing the history of the book, of course, and being the author, being it 35 years still out there and these three powerful new chapters added to it is a testimony to the blessing of God and his faithfulness to help us overcome the evil one who's tried to destroy this. And it's still out there now, even bigger and better and fresher than ever now. So we praise the Lord for that.
Richard, you mentioned how there were some stumbling stones in getting the book published, even in the beginning.
You know, it's for profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, you know. And so if you're a person that just came out of the business world with this fire and zeal from God and say, "God told me to do this," well, you know, how does that translate into book sales? So it took us years to find a publisher, and we went from no thank you letters to pre-printed no thank you postcards, which we paper, you know, all papered our house with. You know, and finally, you know, with much travail and perseverance, found a company that would publish the book, and several of them went out of existence. And one time the book was locked up in a dusty old warehouse in New Jersey. Nobody could get to it, and Other times the plates were destroyed, and other times the cover was printed wrong and thousands had to be destroyed. That's just a few of the little stories. How, you know, how Satan tried to kill all the little baby boys through Herod. You know, he tried many times to kill this book, but it's still out there, still touching people's lives. It's a testimony that this is what God wanted, and whatever he starts, he's going to finish. Hallelujah. Amen.
This book actually was the first writings that you had, like after your major encounter with God on that, on your Emmaus road.
What's in this book, The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread, is what happened in my life. And so I'm telling this is the download that God gave me, the core of the download. The Bible is just really tells one story. It has all these side stories, you know, but it just tells one story. And Bill, you read it earlier. It's called The Blood of the Everlasting Covenant.
Yes.
Before God ever created, he purposed within himself that he would come to earth one day and do for us what we could not do for ourselves because of our sins, and prepare a body, enter into the human race, and through the shedding of his own blood, bring forgiveness of sin for us and reconciliation with the Father. This is the whole story of the Bible, and it's in picture form in the first part of the Bible, and when the person comes along, we see it in Jesus of Nazareth. So this is the core story that holds all the glue of the Bible together, and it's the main theme that every Christian needs to know. It tells us about our union with God and what he has made available for us through the blood of Jesus of Nazareth.
And you said that the key to understanding the scripture, and that was the part that was so beautiful. I remember when we first read it, it's like, how does the Bible all fit together? How do the books fit together? And you so clearly, yet with such depth, talked about the key to understanding scripture is the blood of Jesus, which is the scarlet thread. And it's in every book.
Really?
When Jesus appeared to his disciples, you know, they were acting out these pictures in their customs and traditions, but they were just doing it as the end itself. They didn't know it was a means to an end to the person. And so here's what Jesus said in Luke 24. It says, "You are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures." Of course, that was just the Hebrew Bible, what Christians would call the Old Testament. Then he goes on to say, wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory? Then Jesus quoted them passage after passage from the writings of the prophets, beginning with the book of Genesis and going right on through the scriptures, explaining what the passages meant and what they said about himself.
My goodness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus said, all of this stuff that Christians find so hard to understand and that most don't even read, he says it's all about him.
Really?
So if we want to know him better, we need to study these pictures. Now, Peggy and I have been married over 50 years now.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have pictures of her in every room in the house because I love to look at her pictures. Just because she comes in the room, I don't put the picture down. It's, I don't need the picture anymore. So if you love somebody, you like to look at their picture.
Wow.
We love Jesus. We want to look at his pictures.
Right.
The pictures are in the first part of the Bible. And you know, Bill and Sandy, when you see the picture, all of a sudden you see the person, and it comes alive by the Spirit with life and power, and it comes down inside you with his life and power, and it changes you and transforms you forever. Hallelujah. So that you find the will of God, you find the ways of God, you find the passion of God for your life, and everything changes about your life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. You know,
I could get excited.
Yeah, you could get excited. You know, you're just reminding me so much of year after year growing up Jewish, our Passover meal was a long, tedious process. And when my eyes were opened to see that God was playing out a picture on our table, and that's exactly what your book is doing, because it's looking at all pictures of Jesus through the Old Covenant and the New until he appeared. But Jesus in the sacrifices, Jesus is a picture of the high priest. Jesus is a picture of the tabernacle. It's fascinating and thrilling.
Speaking of the Jewish background you've had, Sandy, there's something in that's a new chapter in the miracle that's called a thread. I have a chapter called the Threshold Covenant. Now, as far as I know, no one has written about this in 150 years.
Wow.
I'm not making a joke, since the Civil War. But what you find out is that Passover was originally called the Crossing Over Covenant. Because what God had them do, which Christians know in Exodus in the Passover story, mm-hmm. is put the blood on the threshold, that bottom part that you step over, you know, that goes into your house or into another room in your house.
Yes.
And so the Egyptians did this. The whole ancient pagan world understood this. They did this because the doorway into your house or your tent or cave or whatever, the threshold, that's where you made sacrifices to your gods long before there were buildings and basilicas and temples and so forth.
Mm.
And so they cut a little hole or a groove in the threshold, and when they made the sacrifice, they poured the blood there, and that was the sacred place of their life in their house. Marriage, blood covenant marriages were done there. All kinds of sacred rituals were carried out at the threshold. So because it was sacred, you would be careful not to step on the threshold, but you would
step over it
or leap over it, see? Careful not to trample underfoot
the sacred blood of the covenant, right.
Even if it was to your pagan gods. So Passover was originally called the crossing over or the leaping over, because that's what Passover basically means. And so when you study out these words, you find that threshold in Hebrew means crossbar, and in Arabic it means carpenter. Did you get
carpenter?
That? The bloodstained threshold in Egypt was a picture of a carpenter carrying a crossbar.
Whoa.
My goodness, hallelujah.
Whoa.
God be praised forever.
Wow. While you're speaking, I'm hearing the words in Revelation where the Lord's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock."
Absolutely. That's what that, in the context, that's what he was talking about. He is the one that's there. And you know, in Passover, I know how you were raised with it, Sandy. I've given many of these myself. And we kind of have this sort of a vague idea of, well, God passed over the land, mm-hmm. and the angel of death couldn't come in. Well, what does that mean, you know? Well, actually, what the ancient people believed and what the Hebrews understood is when they put the blood, because they were dedicating that to their gods or to the one true God for the Hebrews, God himself would come and stand in the doorway, and his presence would keep the angel of death out of that house.
Hallelujah. Oh, wow.
That's what they actually believed.
My goodness.
So when they made these sacrifices at the threshold, their gods then, would they called on them then to be their protector and their provider.
Mm.
And that's what was going on in the Exodus story. The one true God, through the blood of the Lamb, would come and stand in the doorway and keep the angel of death out, and he would be their covenant provider and protector against the gods of Egypt and the Egyptians. And that comes down to our lives today. You just said, Jesus said, "I'm standing knocking at the door. I want to come into the threshold of your life, see, and be your protector, be your provider. And if you put my blood on the doorpost of your life, then the angel of death the evil one cannot cross the threshold into your life.
Wow.
I will be there and protect you and provide for you and birth eternity into your hearts. You will never die, but I will raise you up on the last day, and you will stand with me in a transformed body into eternity, world without end.
Whoa.
Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm getting excited.
You know, how many of us have decided to read the Bible through in a year, and we start there in Genesis and start moving through, and it's just so hard to make it all into a cohesive package. But when we grasp the scarlet thread, the fact that the story of the blood of Jesus and the covenant is through the entire Bible, it's like you go back to it or renew it, and it's like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Simply.
I mean, just think of Adam and Eve. God said, we shall create man in our image. Who was the we?
Absolutely. So who is this we and who is this our, you
yes.
know?
Right.
And so Jesus is the word of God from eternity past. And you know, Bill and Sandy, you guys know this, but so many, they just see the stories. They don't see the reality of Jesus. When God, when Adam and Eve sinned, told them he killed an animal, and he clothed them with the garments of the innocent sacrifice for their sins. That was the initial picture of the garment of salvation. Because when God looked at Adam and Eve, he didn't see them in their fallen carnal nature and their sins. He saw them covered with a garment of salvation, which was the innocent substitutionary sacrifice for their sin. And then he gave them a promise in 3:15 that the seed of woman will come and do what this animal cannot do for you.
Wow.
But you made it very clear, Richard, in the miracle of the scarlet thread, that the covenant that God cut was with himself.
Now, that is so important, Sandy. I'm so glad you brought that out, because we use our human words, you know, and we say, well, what God did with us. No, he didn't do anything with us. He did it with himself.
And he did
if he
it for
did
us.
Something with us, we're in trouble, because that means we're part of it.
Exactly. Really? Yeah.
And we're going to mess it up. So you remember when God came to Abraham, you read it in Genesis 15 there, Abraham was going to drive away these unclean fowl, which represents the evil one, you know. And God says, Abe, hey, if you're been involved in this in any way, you're really going to mess it up. I'm just going to put you to sleep. So Abraham was sort of slain in the spirit, we might say, you know. And he was put to sleep on ceremony, and God's glory himself came and walked between the pieces of flesh, doing for Abraham what Abraham could not do for himself.
Really? Wow, and seeing Jesus hung on the cross, paying the price for us.
Pouring out that eternal life.
And that didn't begin at Matthew. That began at Genesis.
Yes.
So
wow.
All through the scriptures, it tells one story, that God made an everlasting covenant with himself from eternity past. But it doesn't help us in heaven, because we're down here. So he prepared for himself a body. He entered into the human race, and he was the ultimate reality of all these pictures, see, that he painted for himself in Genesis through, we would say, Malachi, the whole of the Hebrew Bible. So when he came, he said, I didn't do away with all this. I'm the reality of it all.
Fulfill it.
It's all in me, and I'm going to do in reality what the pictures were only pointing you to. So he said, I didn't do away with all these things, but I'm the object of them. I'm the goal of them. They're fulfilled in me. So now you can give yourself as a sin offering to me. You can give yourself as a trespass offering to me. You can give yourself as a burnt offering to me. You can give yourself as a meal offering and a peace offering to me, because I'm in you in all these steps. See, he was the sin offering, the trespass offering, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering. And when you study those boring details, and I know they are for us, you find every one of them was offered in a little different way, because Jesus was going to fulfill each one of them in their own uniqueness in his life and death, burial, and resurrection for us.
Richard, there are people
That's how these things get to be exciting, because you find the person. And when you find the person, you find yourself, because you're in him and you live and move and have your being in him.
Richard, there are people listening right now that are feeling that pull on their heart. They're feeling that sense of excitement that you have of the revelation that God has a connection to them, and they want to reaffirm that or make anew that connection with God on their own part. Could you lead them in a prayer that would bring them into the starting gates of recognition of the covenant that they're a part of?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be so honored. And those listening, if you can just quiet your spirit just for a minute, whether it's for your first time ever or renewing your commitment to the Lord, just be aware that God loves you. He's not mad at you. We do all these terrible things, but he's not mad. He loves us. He gave his only son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, that we can have forgiveness in life. And if you say this prayer from your heart, Lord God, just repeat that. Lord God, I have been a sinner. I've done things that have not pleased you, but I see from listening to this program that you do love me, mm-hmm. and that you care for me. And I want that love. I want your care. I want your forgiveness. And I come to you as a simple child in faith. And I receive Jesus and his sacrifice on my behalf so that I can have my sins forgiven and have a personal relationship with you. And I do this now in faith, and I ask for your spirit to come into me and wash me clean and give me a new life that I can walk with you. Put that assurance in my heart now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
If you said that prayer, you can have assurance that God heard you, that he loves you. Get yourself a Bible, start reading it, and get some with some believers who really love the Lord and believe the Bible, and they will help you grow and find God's purposes for your life. Amen, and amen.
The name of the book, The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread, published by Destiny Image. It's the story of the blood of Jesus through the entire Bible. It's about why Jesus had to be crucified and shed his blood and be raised from the dead. And it was originally published in 1981, and here, 35 years later, it's being re-released in a new and beautiful version.
And the blood never loses its power.
Never loses its power.
And Richard Booker is truly a gift to our generation as a teacher, and we are so thankful for him. Richard, what is a good website for our listeners to enter into all of your work and to come in contact with your teachings and invitation to bring you to their churches?
Well, we've got www.rbookers, real simple, rbooker.com. People can access that and see everything that we have. There's various ways they can contact us if they'd like for us to come to their congregation and teach or order our materials. If they want to see my testimony that we're talking about that was on the Sid Roth at Supernatural program, right there on the page that comes up on the website, they can click a link to it.
Wow.
And they can watch it there too.
And if we could just encourage our listeners, this book really is a must. And go on to Richard's website of rbooker.com. He's got a blog. He's got tremendous amounts of teachings and material that will just bring God's presence to you and reveal him in greater depths. Thank you once again. You are such a gift. We love you.
Thank you so much, Bill and Sandy. We love you too. God bless you so much.
Listeners, you can see what happens when the power of God comes onto a person. This was an ordinary man, an engineer working in an energy company, and God visited him and poured into him so much. This can happen to you too. You've been listening to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio, letting you know that God loves you so very much. And Bill and Sandy do too. Tune in next time.
You've been listening to The Healing Word, a radio outreach of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. The Healing Word is sponsored by the Christian Counseling Center and generous gifts of ministry friends. Visit us at griffincouncil.com. That's GRIFFINCOUNSEL.com. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast or any past broadcast, please go to healingwordradio.com. And thank you for listening.